Mark chapter 2, beginning in verse 1 through verse 12. And when he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered together so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them. And they came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, "Why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed and go home." And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this."
Good evening. My name is Kirk Cooper. I'm one of the ministers here at Trinity Presbyterian Church, and I'd like to welcome you. It's my job in this brief time to open God's Word and to draw what we can from it. I want to welcome the Alabama State Choir. I'll just be honest with you. I got chills when we were singing Holy, 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 so I'll just try to make it through this. I thought it sounded awesome. They sound really well, and they sound great. I don't know. Let's move on. Hopefully that is not a harbinger of things to come. We've read the passage. I'll start with a story. I used to live in Jackson, Mississippi, and it was a fortunate providence from God that the New Orleans Saints had their training camp in Jackson, Mississippi while I was there. And it was also in God's providence that they were able to draft Reggie Bush during that time. And I don't know if you remember Reggie Bush, but he was awesome. And he was pretty good at the football, as they say. And he won the Heisman Trophy. And we went to practice in hopes to see Reggie Bush just run fast, I guess. And normally they didn't let the rookies come and sign autographs. So Drew Brees was there. We were standing right at the rope. Drew Brees was there, Joe Horn, Marcus Colston. I think Joe Horn was off the team at that point. All these people were coming and signing these Saints that we knew. And they made the rookies go off another way. But then someone went and got Reggie Bush. And, like, I looked at my friend Brian and said, "Brian, I think Reggie Bush is about to walk over here." And there were, you know, a smattering of people there with us watching. And Reggie Bush begins to walk, like, directly toward us. I'm not an autograph guy. I didn't have anything to get signed or anything like that. But I can tell you one thing. The amount of people per square foot increased dramatically, right? Because Reggie Bush, like, walked closer almost than I am to this pulpit. He basically walked up directly to me. And everyone that was at Millsaps College that day wanted to be close to him. And there were helmets and jerseys being thrown about. And I felt like I was crushed a little bit. It was kind of cool. All that to say is that Jesus was a celebrity. Jesus Christ was a celebrity. And we should not wonder that he was a celebrity. It says in this passage that they were crowded in. There was no room, not even at the door at this house. Everyone wanted to get to see him. And they didn't want to get to see him because he could run fast. They didn't want to get to see him because he was good at a sport or because he could sing. He might have been able to sing. I don't know. He might have been able to run fast. I don't know. They wanted to get to see him because he was doing and saying wondrous things. He was healing people. He was healing people. He was giving people sight that they couldn't see. And then they met Jesus and all of a sudden they could see. And you can just imagine if we were to put a sign out our church and say, "If you have any kind of ailment, we'll heal you." Imagine what the crowd would be like tonight. imagined we'd have to keep them back. They'd be filled even to the doorway, right? Well, that's who Jesus was. But not only was he meeting their felt needs, that's important, but he was also speaking the truth. When he taught, people said, no one's ever taught like this before. The scribes would say, well, the word says this, or you know, the prophet says this, or Moses says this. But Jesus says, truly, I say to you. He equated his own words with scripture. And they never heard anything like that before. I ask you tonight, maybe you're not desperate to see Jesus. Maybe you're not desperate to see him. And that's why maybe you think that you're doing fine. Maybe you don't really feel your need of him, as one hymn writer said. And maybe that's why the church or organized religion or the scripture or whatever you want to put in that blank, maybe that doesn't fill your need. Jesus wants to meet your need. And maybe the reason that you're not necessarily interested in him is because you haven't been made desperate for him yet like these people were. The second thing I want you to see is that they removed this guy's roof. They took out this guy's roof. This man who was paralyzed had some friends. And they wanted to get him to Jesus. And so they stopped at nothing to get him there. When they couldn't get in, they went up on the roof and they dug through the roof. Now, to those of you who know me, this story is going to come as no surprise. But when I was in high school, I was an active member of the youth group. And it was the Wednesday night where the intern, our summer intern named Eddie, got to teach. And he chose to teach on this passage. And Eddie was really feeling himself and getting into it. And I'm sure I was worried about, you know, what Super Nintendo game I was going to play later. But I was listening to him talk. And he was trying to fire us up. He was kind of a football coach kind of guy. And he was trying to get us fired up about Jesus. And he said, look, these guys, you know, they took a real risk to get him up on that roof. You know, they could have dropped him through that hole, you know. And I didn't raise my hand. I wasn't called upon. I just said, hey, Eddie, what were they going to do, paralyze him? And Eddie looked at me like I look at you now. He didn't have anything to say. Hey, that's why God made me a youth minister, is to deal with that. I'm still paying for that comment right there. These men did take a risk in order to get their friend up here. They were desperate to get their friend to Jesus. Now, why is that? Because they knew that Jesus was the only one who could solve his problem. And that was true for that paralytic, and it's also true for you, is that Jesus is the only one that can solve your problem. He's the only one who can heal you. It's not your effort. It's not your status. It's not a million different things. Jesus is the only one that can heal you. We're going to come back to that, but I just want you to see that these men had to endure an awkward situation in order to get their friend to Jesus. It was awkward for them. It was awkward for their friend. It was awkward for the people in the house. I'm sure it was very awkward for the owner of the house to have someone dig through his roof. I'm sure he asked whether Jesus could fix his roof after he does what he does here. If you want to share Christ with other people, it's going to be awkward. It's going to put you in a tight spot, and you're going to be open to criticism. That is the name of the game here. These men were not afraid to do that. And they were not afraid to do it because they knew it was their only choice. I want you to see that Christ was not critical of them. And this is often how I tend to think about Christ, because this is how I am, because I'm overly critical, as a lot of people in my family can tell you. But Jesus doesn't look at them and go, you just really made a mess of that roof. What does it say? It says when Jesus saw their faith, Jesus saw their faith. And here's the next thing I want you to remember. If you remember any of this, I want you to remember that anything that you do for Jesus Christ will be noticed. There's no such thing as unnoticed work for Jesus Christ. He notices it. Now, you might not be noticed out in the community, but he notices it. When you step out in faith for him, he notices. Third thing, we'll try to wind this thing down. A question is asked. So Jesus, they lower this guy down. Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. The scribes start thinking to themselves, why should he do this? I imagine that when Jesus said, your sins are forgiven, that there was at least one friend in that group who like lowered his head down into the hole and was like, that's cool and all, but my man can't walk. That's what we want, Jesus. Like, that's, I mean, I don't, he probably didn't say it like that because he's a first century Palestinian, so, because he didn't even say it in English. But I'm sure that he was like, could we do something about the fact that he's paralyzed? And I just want you to see that Jesus is going to take care of that problem. But that man's paralysis was not his biggest problem. That man's biggest problem was that he was not reconciled to God, and Jesus takes care of that problem. And everyone in here, everyone behind me and everyone in front of me and the person standing in this pulpit and all the people out here in Montgomery and in Alabama and the United States and the world, everyone has problems. And to them, they're big problems. But they're not your biggest problem. I want you to hear me say that. And I, because Jesus is basically saying it to this paralyzed man. Being paralyzed is not your biggest problem. What is your problem? Jesus cares about your big problems. But he also, first and foremost, cares about this. Jesus wants to solve your biggest problem. And that's this, is that you're not God's friend. You're not. You're God's enemy. And he wants to make you more than a friend. He wants you to make you a son and a daughter of God. And he addresses this man's biggest problem first. He says, your sins are forgiven. Never let anyone tell you that Jesus didn't claim to be God, by the way, because only God talks like this. In fact, that's why the scribes were really angry. The scribes were really angry because he was forgiving sins. Who can forgive sins but God? They say it right there. And Jesus doesn't correct them. He doesn't say, oh, no, I meant it this way, or oh, no. He's not really, this is shocking to people in our time in 2019, but he was not really worried that he offended someone. Amazingly, Jesus just said, why are you worried about this? And then he asked him a question. He says this, what's easier to say? To say your sins are forgiven or to say rise, get up and walk? Now, the answer to that question is obvious. It is obviously easier to say your sins are forgiven. Why? It's easier for Jesus to say that because there's no empirical way to prove whether it's true or not true, right? We can't see it or taste it or touch it or smell it or hear it. There's no way for us to, no way we can say, nah, you didn't forgive him of his sins. But when it comes to getting up and walking, that's a verifiable thing. Either Jesus can do that or he can't. Right. So the obvious answer is it's easier to say your sins are forgiven. But then Jesus says, and this is great, but that you may know that I have, that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, I say to you, rise, pick up your bed and go home. And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. What's easier to say? Your sins are forgiven. But what's easier to do? It is nothing for Jesus to make this man walk. He can do it whenever he wants and however he wants. And it's nothing for Jesus to solve any problem that you have in your life. You do it like that. But you know what costs Jesus an awful lot? To be able to look at that man and say, your sins are forgiven. If you are here tonight, well, before we close, I do want to say this. They've got stores around here where you can buy stuff that no one else wanted to buy. Y'all know about these stores? In my hometown, it was called Walls. That was like where they took all the stuff from Walmart that no one wanted to buy, and they put it in Walls. And there's another one called Dirt Cheap. I don't know if y'all found that store before. There's like an upscale one called TJ Maxx. I don't know if you guys. I was told that if I said that, some of the ladies would get mad. Look. All I know is they're on sale for a reason. That's all I'm trying to say. There's even a thing. I haven't been to this thing. There's a thing in Montgomery called Dirty Dillard's. I don't know where that is, but it's apparently like where they take. It would be very easy for you to think that Jesus got you at a bargain. But I want you to know that when he looked at that man in the eyes and he said, your sins are forgiven, he did so because he had paid full price for him. And if you are here tonight and you can hear my voice, Jesus is willing to pay full price for you. He's not going to buy you cheap or on sale or try to get a deal or a two for one. He's going to pay the whole thing, full price. And what is the price? He will die on the cross. He will be resurrected like we just celebrated last week. He will be resurrected so that he can look you in the eye, so that he can look this paralytic in the eye and say, your sins are forgiven. As quickly as that man got up and walked like that, he can take your heart of stone and turn it to a heart of flesh. And it's my prayer that he would do that for you. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, you are worthy of all the glory, all the honor. Lord, you not only created us and everything around us, but you are sustaining it even now. You are the Son of the Most High. There is not enough time in the world for us to talk about how great and wonderful you are. And the reason that we might say that this evening, Lord, is that you looked at us and you paid the price for us. When you knew that we did not deserve it, when we couldn't have never earned it, when we could have never been good enough, you looked at us and said, you are mine. Rise and walk. Lord, we give all the glory and honor to you, and we pray these things in the matchless name of Jesus Christ. Amen.